earlier this week, in fact, it was just yesterday, we had one host, Dave Schrader, who came in, wasn't feeling well, and did not complete the show. And it sounds like Dave was really struggling, so I hope Dave's doing well. I am not doing well, and I know you're pleased because I came in, too.
Thank you for that. We have a little bit of distance here, but...
Yeah. I missed you.
Oh, Chad.
I missed you.
Oh, Chad. So you're trying to get me sick so none of us show up for work next week?
Apparently. I don't know.
I hope you're doing okay. I mean, we'll be doing okay. I realize it's a struggle right now, but...
We'll figure it out.
Is it, are we talking stomach? Or are we talking...
Head and chest and... Hello.
I mean, you sound really good.
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm in Portugal, and I'm still doing Instagrams. I mean, why not? He stays on brand. Bravo. A 10-year-old. That's how we're starting. It's part of it's impossible to think of, and part of it, that's what's going on in Minneapolis and other major cities. You've heard it the last few hours. MPD arrested a 10-year-old kid, for driving a stolen vehicle recklessly across playground. It looked to me like you saw the video for the first time. Is that fair?
Yeah.
I saw it a couple times before.
Yeah, I hadn't watched it, but I'd heard of the descriptions.
Okay. When you just watch that, a 10-year-old kid driving across a crowded school playground, what was your immediate reaction?
It's frightening.
It is.
I mean, I knew how it ended. I knew that nobody was injured. Nobody got hit. But still, watching that car pass by the playground three times, four times,
mm-hmm.
not that far away.
No.
The actual playground structure going through these more open fields. Oh, my goodness.
So this happened on September 20th. An arrest yesterday, second-degree assault. That on its own is troubling and raises all sorts of questions. That's just the start of it, though.
That's not the most shocking part.
No, which is not. 30 police entries dating back to May of 2023. So he was 9 then. He had been arrested twice before for auto theft-related crimes. He's also listed as a suspect in more than 12 cases that range from auto theft to robbery to assault with a dangerous weapon. Yes, a 9 and 10-year-old kid with assault with a dangerous weapon. Brian O'Hara said the family is cooperative, have asked for help to keep their son or anyone else from being injured or killed. So I get that among the many questions we would ask is, what's going on at home? What are they doing? We don't know yet. It raises a lot of questions, raises a lot of scrutiny, but there are stories. There were the story, there was not just the story, there was the incident when what would it have been now, maybe 6 weeks ago or so, when the three kids, 11, 12, 13, right in there, stole the vehicle, shots were fired, and reports that at least one of the parents had went to the police saying, make your charges stronger. What we're doing is not working.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the disparity between Moriarty and O'Hara, where O'Hara came out and just called her a liar. There's a story today, or the last 24 hours, where the average age of a victim, a juvenile victim, so not overall age, but just juvenile victim in Minneapolis, is 15 years old. I get in society, we may have outliers. We may have outliers of sheer brilliance, sheer kindness, cruelty, criminality. It's probably still an outlier, Dave, when it's a 10-year-old with 30 different incidents involving criminality.
In the last 15 to 16 months.
Yes.
Two a month.
Two a month. Well, and as a 9-year-old, and maybe as an 8-year-old, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Who knows when he turned 10? But is it really that much of a rarity in Minneapolis the last couple of years with 11, 12, 13, 14, in particular with carjackings and other crimes?
How many times have we heard it from the chief, from the mayor, screaming about the fact that this is, you know, like you said, the specific, the carjackings, the stealing of Kias and Hyundais.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of young kids.
And O'Hara used the term unfathomable. And I agree when we're talking the 10-year-old. But it's a little bit like the school shootings, where they are extraordinarily cruel, life-ending, life-altering, debate-starting. But if something happens today, and let's hope it doesn't, are we going to be like, wow, didn't see that coming? No. Mm-mm. And right now, in Minneapolis, and it's not just Minneapolis, because it's another big cities, but it absolutely, unequivocally, without any hesitation, is a problem in Minneapolis. It has happened with kids this bleeping age. It is infuriating. It is unacceptable. And God knows we've talked Moriarty a lot on this show, and will continue to. And her timing, winning the office, in a number of ways, but including looking at juveniles and different ways, once they're found guilty or once they're interacting with the legal system, I think there are times, Dave, when it makes sense. I think there are times when you're like, that's too young. There are also, and let's be honest in this case, time after time after time after time after time where you're hearing from O'Hara and Fry and saying it's the same kids. How many times have we interviewed O'Hara on this, let alone when he's making his regular appearance with Adam and Jordana, where, yeah, we know the kids, they're coming in, and they're getting out hour or two later.
Yeah.
What the bleep is wrong? Do you feel like this is going to be changing soon? Because I don't.
Doesn't feel like it. We've been, as you said, talking about it for months. Many, many months. Going on years of hearing the chief, hearing the mayor say, it's the same kids. We know these kids.
Mm-hmm.
We know who they are. We know where they're going when they get the revolving door out from the police station and head back home, and then they're back out on the streets hours, days later doing the same garbage.
There are times when the punishment for even a young kid has to be strong. I'm sorry. 30 interactions as maybe an 8-year-old, definitely as a 9-year-old, and now could have killed people.
Yeah.
Could have killed, not people, kids, maybe classmates, don't know. And I'm not saying Stillwater, but this can't keep happening. And just, what are we going to do? We have to find ways to do things, especially when parents are saying, help us out. When people are going to raise the topic, because I want you to call in or I want you to text in about this. 651-461-9226. What's going on with the parenting? We talk about that all the time. Maybe there's some just complete, utter incompetence.
We have parents being held responsible now for school shootings. I mean, do you take a look?
Yes.
When you've got something like this with 10-year-olds, with 11, 12, 13-year-olds that are constantly doing the same stuff, you have to.
Absolutely, you have to. But you also don't automatically say, well, it has to be the parents. Because you don't know what has happened. You don't know potentially, excuse me, what sort of mental health situation could be taking place. But if there is a parent and they can legally prove and the law is capable of doing that, or maybe the law has to be changed, where a parent or parents were so derelict, yes, absolutely. To automatically assume it, no. To adjust laws to punish these kids even stronger, absolutely. And would we have said this 30, 40, 50 years ago? Probably not. And we do have many more platforms. We have talk shows. We have Twitter. We have blogs. We have the ability to cover this stuff more than we did 30, 40, 50 years ago. But to act like it's about the same thing and the same thing's been going on, I don't buy it at all. I just don't. And it should anger you. It should infuriate you. It should make you feel scared for what can happen to other kids. It should make you feel sad about what's going on. What do you want to say about this topic? Again, I apologize for the voice. Not feeling the greatest. But I appreciate everybody listening. Call or text stylesfinancial.com. Talk and text lines. 651-461-9226.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, Dave Harrigan, what do we have today for our music bumper theme?
Oh, we've invaded London. The Vikings are there. They're plundering.
They are plundering.
London is the theme.
I think that works. Among the texts, has Mary Moriarty released the 10-year-old yet? Mary doesn't release.
She doesn't have the keys to the...
I don't think she does that, the police, but the police have to follow the law and the guidelines, and then Moriarty has to decide on charges and the path. But Mary, not real popular with many people right now.
Among the youth of Minneapolis, she's probably terribly popular right
now. Not sure that's the group that she's looking for right now. Hey, Chad, he's only 10 with an extensive record. Let's keep letting him go until he kills someone. Isn't that how we do it today? I don't understand to a certain level. And you can't invent laws. I understand that. But this many interactions with the law, twice before, auto theft, suspect in more than 12 cases. From auto theft to robbery to assault with a dangerous weapon before, you would sit there and say, he's going to juvenile and he's not getting out until he has an opportunity to go through some rehabilitation of some sort or a trial itself takes place. Suspect in these crimes, the kid deserves an opportunity to defend himself. It would seem pretty bleeping clear that they know he drove the car.
Yes, it does.
That would seem, now we've been shocked before because mistakes can happen, but over and over and over and over again for this kid, and nothing is happening.
You can say the word over 25 more times, too.
And a number of texts on the parents. I'll say it again. It raises a lot of questions. It does. There are cases, though, where the parents are doing the right things. And the kid, the whole nature versus nurture situation, and the kid just won't stop. There are also many examples of complete and total dereliction of any simple level of parental responsibility. And not giving a damn, criminality on your own end, selfishness. So as we said before the break, looking more at parents and tying them to kids on crimes, I'd want to see how the law was written. But if you're expecting me to see no, absolutely, I'm never going to say that. But to leap and just automatically assume it's it, we can't go that far. In the case of the kid who went to school, and what did he kill, four kids, I think, in Ohio, right? Mm-hmm. It was very clear that the parents knew something was going on, knew about the weapon, knew about mental health issues, knew about, wasn't it things he had written down to? And even that day when the kid was brought to the principal's office, when they, it turns out, they were available to take him home, and they lied and said, now we're busy. I would think across this country the next couple years, we're going to see greater attempts to tighten up and clarify parental legal responsibility. Your worry is, well, first of all, your biggest worry is this is happening, okay? Your second biggest, thanks, Brad. Your second biggest is, could you bring a parent in and charge them when they did nothing wrong? But we can't sit here and keep spinning our wheels, right?
No. And when you look at a situation like this, a 10-year-old, we're going back to when he was 9, possibly 8, I think it's pretty clear there was a dereliction. You know, I've got a 7-year-old. She'll be 8 soon. I can't imagine how you allow a child to be out and about, just outside of the house without being under your supervision, to get picked up by the cops 30 different times in 15 to 16 months. That there has to be a failure at home. There's no other way to look at it.
And one of the last times we talked about this, what are kids doing? How many of them are raised by younger kids, not their parents? Ideally, sure, you'd rather have two parents there. Sometimes the two parents both are incompetent. I'd rather have the one parent, but if you told me it's an option, yeah. Can you keep kids busier? Somebody's saying we need to spank more. I'm not here to have a law to prevent you from spanking, but to suggest spanking is really the only way to solve this? No. And by the way, I was the bad guy with our kids. And most of it I stand by. There are parts of it I look back and I kind of shake my head a little bit. But I now have an extraordinarily strong relationship with my two older boys. So if people are trying to be friends over and over again, and that doesn't mean you don't have great, loving, caring relationship with the kids. And at some ages, it's way too young. But you want the kids to have a healthy, I don't think it needs to be fear. Something's fear, if you want to think that's fine. But realization,
yeah,
that if I screw up, I'm going to be punished. If you think fear is the way to go, as long as you're not harming too far, sure.
It could be fear of the consequence. It doesn't
have to
be fear of your parent hurting you. It could be fear of, okay, if I step out of line, I know it's going to happen. I'm going to be grounded for a week, for a month. I'm going to get this taken away. Yeah.
Exactly. That's it. Major is next here on CCO. none of those comments at all taken out of context. None. Oh my God, Arrogant, you are.
I will say this: you do keep it fresh.
Yeah, that's Dave. Dave gets all the credit for it.
High marks to Dave. Yes. High marks.
He is very, very good. Now,
keeping it fresh and fly.
Yeah,
very good.
Yeah, that's what Dave's known for: fly and fresh.
That's those are my two nicknames back from school.
All right, it will get chilly in the nation's capital at some point, maybe a little bit after us. Are you one of these tough guys? Is it a tough guy couple where you will wait and wait and wait to turn on the furnace now? After I visited last year, you have a 12-bedroom mansion. So
Chad, I was born in San Diego.
Yeah,
turn that baby on. I don't know anything about dealing with the cold. I will say this. We put the heat on at a completely rational time. If it's, you know, lower than 40 degrees outside, we keep the apartment 932 square feet, by the way. But one thing that makes me a bit odd here in the Mid-Atlantic region, my body temperature runs a little high. I have a rule. I will only put on when in the wintertime, long pants when it gets below freezing. So if it's 37 degrees outside, I will still
Get out of here. I mean, honestly, I'm sending help. You're an adult. I mean, you're 84, 85, I forget. I mean, you will not put on pants until it's 32 degrees?
Yeah. So I will wear shorts outside. I'll wear a nice jacket, you know, to keep my chest warm. But the rest, there were times when the kids were young, and they remember this, not so fondly, but they do
embarrassed,
remember.
Embarrassed, I think is the word you're looking for.
Yeah, they really made, because their dad was like a nutso. So, you know,
is, I think, is the word, not was, just trying to help you out.
Yeah. Yes, is, exactly. Snow day, and I'd be the only one.
Okay, so Dave, Major has informed us he lives just blocks away from the CBS studio in the nation's capital.
Mm-hmm.
So in a few weeks, it's going to be maybe 52 degrees. And you're going to see a man who's 63 years old wearing a very dapper sport coat.
Yes.
White or blue shirt. I'm a blue shirt guy. I like the blue shirt more, but I think Major's more of a white shirt guy. A nice tie, and then jorts of some sort. I mean,
cutoffs. I think
cutoffs.
Come on, cargo pants. Come
cargo
on.
Shorts.
Really, really current.
I mean, he's got cargo shorts on. I mean, my God.
And all the pockets are spoken for.
Oh, exactly. Got a hammer on there.
Yes. Big fat tape measure. Yes.
Oh my God, that is tremendous. Okay.
A multi-bit screwdriver. Remember that? You know, the kind you turn around.
Of course. Of course. I also want you to explain what a weekend this is for you, because you, San Diego, the little brother.
Yeah.
You get big brother. You get big brother.
Whatever.
Okay, you, the little kid, the little runt off to the side.
Whatever.
You know, kind of the kid, Dave, wearing the pictures. You'd rather not take a picture with that kid, but you have to. It's the whole family picture.
Yep. That's right.
Okay, do we have to? Can we get a couple shots?
You try to block him out as best you can.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now you get to take on good-looking Hollywood, the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself going out in 3-4? How quick is this series going to end?
When we speak next week, the Padres will have advanced to the National League Championship Series.
Is that a guarantee?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Or else? Is there an or else?
No, it's just what's going to happen.
Okay. Well, was it 2 years ago that they took the Dodgers out?
We took care of business, and we will again.
And
we're a better team this year. We're a better team, and we have no fear. We have no fear of the Dodgers whatsoever.
Well, considering you traded Soto off what last year was an underachieving team.
Vastly underachieving team, yep.
Right. And in the second half, I think I have this right, best record in baseball, the Padres.
Yep.
It will be.
Yeah, the team is really gelled, and what you need in the playoffs. I know last night's Pete Alonso's home run in the ninth was electrifying. Home runs are incredibly helpful in the playoffs, but what you need is constant contact, generate runs all different kinds of ways. We have power. We strike out less than any team in Major League Baseball. We have one of the highest batting averages as a team with two strikes. We have good, solid starting pitching and a very deep bullpen. Those things all add up well in the playoffs. I like our chances.
I would like you to apologize after I read this tweet because I get most of my information from Marjorie Taylor Greene. She is kind of my benchmark. She is she's my Walter Cronkite.
Right. And she's a truth teller. I get it.
Yes. Yeah. She's my kind of where my soul is and my brain matching together. Mm. That's Marjorie Taylor Greene. And I don't know why you haven't reported this for years, but Marjorie Taylor Greene today at 6:37 a.m. Yes, they can control the weather. It's ridiculous for anyone to lie and say it can't be done. Why haven't you been telling me that the government, in particular the Democrats, have been controlling the weather? Why have you been holding out on me?
They, you know, and that's it's always the royal they.
Yes, it is. Yes.
They. Who's the they? This wispy, miasmic, hard to define they. What is it? It's in the space. It's in
ether.
The ether. It's a cloudy, undefinable construct. They are against us. They do the things that make us unhappy. They don't satisfy all of our desires. Oh, come on, please.
If you didn't know, you would not believe for 1 second. She is a member of Congress and an influential member of Congress.
In part because she has an audience. I don't know how long that audience will persist, but she has an audience for now. And so again, this is one of those things where there is science about seeding clouds and trying to do things to accelerate patterns. That's not untrue. So like with so many things in this space, in this fabulous concocted world, there is at one level some shard of believability or previous fact. Like people have paid attention to and thought about and wondered about, can you do anything if there's a drought situation to change the intensity of clouds or anything like that? That is fundamentally, fundamentally different than what she's talking about. I don't even know what she's talking about in the sense that, what, the government decided that this was now the time to kill more than 200 people to create the largest structural and infrastructure damage since Katrina.
Sad.
To foist
on
the federal government tens of billions of dollars of costs and to wreck communities throughout Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, parts of Virginia, and Florida. That was the government's to-do list for last weekend? What?
Yeah. It's insulting.
No. What the simple truth is, we've talked about this before, and I had a kind of brief essay on this on our America Decides program on CBS News 24/7 Monday. Weather patterns are changing, and the most routine victims of the rapid intensification of storms are people who live in rural America.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Their wages are comparatively smaller, their infrastructure is more brittle, and the wherewithal to help them rebound in the immediate aftermath and over the long term is less prevalent. All of these things are realities. And when insurance rates go up, rural America has the hardest time paying for them. All of these things are true. They're falling disproportionately on red America, okay? This is a reality. We need a national conversation about how are we adapting? How are we improving the ability for people in these areas to get insurance, to have infrastructure that's fortified to take these new storms on so people can continue to live and thrive? That's what we need to be talking about, not some made up they who's controlling the weather.
And by the way, I'll add, and I saw this on Mediaite, her now frenemy, Laura Loomer, going back to the Iowa caucuses, said this: we all know Nikki Haley has lots of friends in the defense industry and the military-industrial complex. She's losing in Iowa, and now Iowa is set to be hit with a once-in-a-decade blizzard. Is the deep state using something called HARP to rig the caucus? That, seriously. Let's pause on the brilliance offered up by these two. More from Major in moments on CCO. Right back with the fabulous Major Garrett. Again, apologize for the voice. A little under weather today. It's 12:51 on CCO. So a couple days ago, we had news on Jack Smith, Donald Trump, Judge Chutkan, with the filing in the election interference case. No surprise, Donald Trump, highly critical of the entire process. Witch hunt, probably said witch hunt 500 times in the first day after this. But I ask you this, because I have consumed and read from other more objective, either political or legal minds, who did wonder about the timing. I mean, here we are when it came out, it was October 2nd. We're 30-some days away from the election. Normally, the Department of Justice tries to stay away. We obviously know in 2016, very late, when all of a sudden Anthony Weiner and his computer and Hillary and information and jumping back into that story. Were you surprised in any way that this information came out the way it did?
No. So, just to remind ourselves, the Trump lawyers, as is their right, have sought repeated delays in all procedural maneuvers in this case, up to and including taking the question of immunity, presidential immunity, to the Supreme Court. Upon the Supreme Court handing down a verdict, or a ruling rather, not a verdict, a ruling that said there are wide areas of immunity for official conduct of a president and certain areas of private conduct that are not covered by immunity and therefore subject to criminal prosecution, the case was sent back to the judge and to the special counsel, who had to redraft the entire indictment in accordance with the Supreme Court ruling that Trump hailed at the time and sought as a matter of protecting his rights under due process, all of which is legitimate. Those delays created the timeline under which we are under. And when Jack Smith filed his response last week, it was clear, and the judge made it clear, that parts of it would be made public in the not-too-distant future. And remember, there is a Justice Department imperative internally that says you cannot launch an investigation against a political candidate close to an election. There is nothing about the Justice Department rules or regulation that says ongoing cases, of which this is one, have to be in any way altered because of a political campaign. That would be ridiculous. It's an ongoing case. And if Trump didn't want the Supreme Court answer and wanted to get this case into court right away to prove and vindicate his innocence, he had that option. He chose not to exercise that option. He chose all other due process rights afforded to him to delay. He has delayed, pushing this ever closer to the election. The timing of this is in accordance with his rights and the exercise thereof. Jack Smith had to respond to the Supreme Court ruling, and then the judge had to put the public parts of it in the public realm so they could be judged as the case goes forward, as it will. Trump is at least half responsible. Now, if you really, really want to be critical, he is entirely responsible for the evidentiary part of this case, why it's a case in the first place.
That is correct. The most important
but
point.
Secondarily, just for the due process part, because everyone has these rights, you can ask for delays and consideration, and I have no problem with that. And when the Supreme Court handed down its ruling, I was part of our live coverage with Jan Crawford, and we both said something that has been proven to be more true than many people thought at the time. And Jan Crawford took the lead on this. She said, look, this is not the blanket immunity that some people are already branding this as. There will be openings here, and Jack Smith will find them, because not everything a president does is official. And if you do things that are explicitly as a candidate or as a private citizen in engaging with other private people, not White House people, that's wide open terrain, which is exactly what Jack Smith's brief says. When you engage with people outside of the White House, as Trump did, and when you're doing things that have no official relationship to your job and in interfering with the state procedures of conducting and certifying election, nowhere in the Constitution, nowhere in our law does that say that is a presidential power. You can be prosecuted, and that's where we are.
I have about 60 seconds left. Barack Obama is going back on the trail.
Yeah.
Does he still have the same juice and power he had, let's say, 4 years ago?
No. No, but he doesn't hurt. He helps. He's a headline grabber. He has a kind of important resonance within Democratic constituencies and African-American constituencies in particular. But there's a big difference. Harris is running to enlarge and improve upon and finish the homework left unfinished of the Biden administration. And anyone in the Biden administration will tell you the Biden administration was more aggressive on middle class and aspiring middle class Americans and spent more and did more and oriented themselves to those fundamental economic needs of those Americans than the Obama administration. So Harris is not a reach back to Obamaism. Harris is an enlargement of Bidenism. And that's going to be one of the central questions voters are going to have to answer in this campaign. Do they want more of Bidenism or less?
One last piece of advice. Put some pants on occasionally. I mean, not all the time, but just occasionally.
Yeah. When it's 31 degrees.
31 degrees. Okay. I need to see a picture when it's in the 40s of you walking across the street. Sport coat, shirt. How about 5 seconds? Dress shoes, yes or no, with the shorts?
No. Never.
Okay, Dave, that's where he draws the line.
I have standards.
Jack. How dare you?
What do you think I am, a nut?
Yeah. Go Padres, man.
Go Padres.
All right, talk to you next week. Major, your Lindis construction time check is 12:58. Time to get free installation labor on Minnesota-made Infinity for Marvel Windows. Yes, Shaletta's next hour, but it's at 1:35.